tried to save the world.
Went missing. I think I felt it from the Arizona desert. I didn't know what it was, and at the time, I didn't care, but I definitely felt it. The universe felt it too, and maybe that's what I felt. Not the amulet, the universe. Reality, undulating in fear. Anyhow, I just drank it away. Easy. A few days later, and that bothersome tingle of my old profession had evaporated. Shacking up with a gorgeous mystic in a busted old streamlined trailer has that effect. Call me insensitive, but you really can forget anything with enough pills and booze and dirty sex, even reality shaking in fear. You can see how deadbeat dads live with themselves. Anyway, Ramona worked with this little carnival out west called Tasty Jake's Freak Show. They rode around rural towns getting folks excited just like it had been done in the Dust Bowl days. Even with DVR and YouTube and all that shit, in the end, people will pay out the nose to see weirdos right up close. This one was one of those pre-Barnum-style traveling carnivals, filled with con artists, grifters, and outright criminals. It's funny how a carnival can make the most unsavory characters appear mysterious. Guys who glued hair all over themselves and called themselves Wolf Boy. Ladies who invested in collapsible swords and pretended to swallow three or four of them at a time. Stinky old roadkill stapled and superglued together and advertised as a chupacabra. Cold readers, bullshit artists, all masquerading as psychics. That kind of thing. My lady Ramona was one of these masqueraders. She had a great look, kind of a Cleopatra gypsy thing. Sometime in her past, I think right after she'd first run away from home, she attended a psychic convention. They convinced her she could read minds. I mean, all they did was teach her cold reading, and she was pretty shitty at it. But put a hot chick in a bustier with tassels, have her speak in a Roma accent as she jiggles her boobs, people will believe anything that comes out of her mouth. Unfortunately, boobs will only get you so far, and when I met her, Tasty Jake was about to put her ass on the curb. Too many customers complaining that her psychic readings were bogus. I convinced Jake to give her another chance, told him I could help her. Let me tell you, when I helped her, she really started wowing people. See, I have these abilities, powers, or something. I know it sounds like total bullshit, but it's real. You ever heard of synesthetes? People who see numbers in different colors? Well, that's kind of like me, except instead of colors and numbers, I touch things and see their pasts. Technically, I'm a psychometrist with decent clairvoyant abilities, but I don't like categories. But that's what I meant earlier when I mentioned my old profession. I used to be a part of this Texas branch of an outfit called the Vendices. We were charged with managing supernatural shit. I was a natural for it, given my attunement to psychic energy. They recruited me right out of high school, and when they first approached me, it sounded like a great gig. You know, looking back, I don't know how they identified me. Shit, never thought of that. Anyway, they told me about their organization, keeping the universe in check, stopping bad guys, all that stuff, and I thought it sounded awesome. I was going to turn all Torchwood and shit. BPRD, motherfucker. But it was really corporate. Rules, rules, rules about everything. No booze, no women, no nothing. I burned a bridge when I left. Literally, I set their fucking bridge on fire, burned it up, and hooked ass. They hated me as much as I hated them, and I'm sure they were as happy to see me go as I was to leave. But one night, a few days after the buzz to my brain that let me know something was wrong, one of the Vendices came calling. It was a Saturday night, and we were just outside of Dead Horse Ranch State Park in Clarkville. I was three sheets to the wind and sitting in Ramona's trailer as she did a reading for this hillbilly. I shook his hand when he walked into the trailer, and even through the Jameson-created clouds in my mind, I saw him. All of him. His secrets, his desires, his lies. With enough training, people can kinda, sorta keep me out, but most people aren't trained. Most people are open books, and this fucking guy was no exception. In between Marlboro Reds and shots of Jameson, I'd interject in the reading to help Ramona out. It was getting good. He was buying it, and by the way he kept staring at her chest, I knew he'd be a big tipper. Then my phone rang. I don't get a lot of calls. I don't even have a real cell phone. I keep a burner, and only about a handful of people know how to get in touch with me. Ramona, Jake, some of the other performers. I didn't even look at the ID. I said hello, and when I heard the voice on the other line, nearly shit myself.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Toit?
My heart was racing, and for the first time in a long time, it wasn't because of drugs or booze. What the fuck do you want? I growled into the cell phone. Ramona and the hillbilly stopped talking and stared at me.
Mr. Toit, please, I would not have contacted you. I would not have bothered you if the situation...
I quit, I snapped, cutting him off. Remember? I don't know how you found this number, but when I hang up, you'd...
A yog amulet, Mr. Toit. A yog amulet has gone missing.
That shut me up. I sat back, lit another smoke, didn't say anything.
Mr. Toit, are you still there?
Yeah, I heard you. How long?
We are uncertain. I have conducted a preliminary investigation, but I have not been able to determine when the yog amulet went missing.
No, I said, cutting him off again. Not how long has it been missing. How long we got?
Yes, I see your point. We estimate a week before a rift fully opens.
Where?
San Antonio.
I'll call you when I get there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Toit. I would not...
It's called pronounced torch, goddammit. It's Gaelic. If you're going to use and abuse me like a lunch hour stripper, at least get my fucking name right. I hung up the phone, kissed Ramona, who was very confused, and stumbled out into the night. It was daybreak before I saw the city lights, and another half hour before I found the shithole old Dovo was staying at on the east side. It's a motor lodge off Highway 90. It had a fresh coat of paint, but the place was a meth biker hangout. Some folks you can crack wise with, some folks you just look away from and keep walking. Even I was smart enough to shut my mouth in this neighborhood. I sat in the car and finished my cigarette. I knew that once I went through that door, they'd fucking have me. I could smart off, slack off, or jack off all I wanted, but at the end of the day, I was a Vendisi again. I realized I was smoking the butt of the cigarette when it burned my lips. I thumped it out the window into the parking lot, switched off the radio, and walked back to my old life. I didn't knock, I just walked in. I could feel Mondovo's cluttered mind before I crossed the threshold. Must be bad if they sent him. It was like putting on an old pair of boots. An old, stinky, slightly ill-fitting pair of boots. Been a long time, I said to him. I see you've still got the mortician look going. Suits you, it really does, but I can't imagine too many women go for the lurch vibe.
Yes. I have very little time for that thing. As you know, it is strictly forbidden.
You must have amazing forearms. I had Mondavo fill me in on the details, but he didn't really have much. A yog amulet had been taken from a grave. There had been rumors of a grave robber, and some sad sack college instructor was the most likely candidate. Mondavo had tried to hire some PI to track the guy down, but he'd disappeared into thin air, and so had the instructor. That was it. Thin. Paper thin. They weren't exactly sure how much time we had left. Days? Hours, maybe? But we all know a rogue yog amulet was bad. Really, really fucking bad. I asked Mondavo if anyone had actually spoken with the instructor's wife. He said no. Well, I said as I motioned for him to follow me to the car, let's get a fucking move on before reality goes kaput. Sarah was beautiful. I made sure to linger on the handshake to caress her hands, and I tried not to shiver as I peeled back her psyche. One go. I hadn't actually used my sight that aggressively in a long, long time. Man, it was delicious. Some psychometrists really have to work at it to read a person. See, an inanimate object is easy. Every psychometrist I've ever met could read things. Lickety-split, no problem. But people? People have souls, and souls don't like interlopers. They push back. They hide. They resist. But me? Nah, I've never had a problem. I can take a hold of a soul and shake it until it opens like a flower and tells me its history. And Sarah's soul sang like a drunk frat guy at karaoke night. I worked my way around her kids' toys, and we sat down in her living room to talk. I had to push a Power Wheels monster truck out of the way to sit at the sofa. Sarah's soul was still mourning the loss of her stupid husband, but that was about it. Nothing about the amulet. Nothing useful. As we left, she hugged us both and said,
"Please, Mr. Toit, if you hear anything, anything at all, please call me."
I smiled. "It's Torch. And call me Wade." I promised her we would contact her if we found anything, and we headed out to the next stop. Cemetery. Goddamn cemetery. I never understood why the Vendices had to rely on this creepy shit like characters from a fucking John Carpenter movie. I never ever understood why they'd hide some of the most dangerous shit in the universe in graves. I started to ask why they hadn't put this thing in a safety deposit box instead of burying it like a bunch of rodents when Mondavo said,
"The grave lies to the back of the cemetery."
"I feel it," I said, cutting him off. "Let old Mandy there get on a roll and the world will be over before he's done talking." I tried to clear my head as we walked. Like I said, I hadn't used the site for real in decades, and I didn't want to get my mind all clouded up. But honestly, I would have felt the residual energy the amulet had left in and around the grave, even if I'd been half drunk and high on shrooms. The energy pulled me so hard, I walked right to the grave. I knelt down and grabbed a fistful of cool, damp dirt. I squeezed it, let it fall through my fingers, and tried to see what had happened.
"During our initial investigation..."
"For fuck's sake, Mandy. I'm trying to figure out what happened. Will you do me a favor and shut the fuck up?" I concentrated again, pushed away my mind, and opened up. And I saw it. Saw him. The grave robber. Listening to an iPod. Alice in Chains, I think. Saw his shirt. His sweat. Felt his greed as he dug into the grave. Saw him rip the amulet off the body. Pocket it, pocket other jewels, then leave. But nothing of use. I couldn't even see the amulet up close. I stood up, wiped my hands on my jeans. I knew Mondavo was chomping at the bit, but I let him stew. I lit up a Marlboro with my Zippo, took a deep drag, told him what I'd found. "There's nothing here. The college professor, just a normal guy, didn't even know what it was." Mondavo seemed even more upset than he'd been a few minutes ago.
"Not some kind of cult, then? No desire to awaken the elder things?"
"Nah, just some dipshit with a shovel. Jesus, man, you look whiter than usual." Manny wiped his forehead with his handkerchief. It was nearly freezing out, and he was sweating.
Yes, I fear that will make it even more difficult to find."
"Yeah," I said as I stamped out my smoke, "but here's the funny thing. Both Thomas and Ronald were here. Thomas stole some stuff, and a few days later he came back." I closed my eyes and concentrated. "And they both went," I pointed toward the south end of the cemetery, "that-a-way." We stood outside a large crypt.
"And you're sure, Mr. Torch, this is the one?"
"Yep, this is where their trail ends. Roaches check in, but they don't check out." I put my hand on the cold wood. A surge of energy slapped the palms of my hands. Dead. Undead. And lots of them. "Yeah, I can feel them scurrying around in there like rats," I said, almost to myself.
Them? More than one?
"Yep, undead. Whole pack of them." I looked at Mondavo. His face was all pinched up like he'd been sucking on a lemon. "Calm down, man. I got this." He shook his head at me.
Yes, well, the dead are notoriously erratic. Their dispositions can be unstable. Trying to reason with one is oftentimes quite delicate, but If there are many, we...
Yeah, I know. Don't sweat it, man. I won't say more than I have to. I knew that they knew someone was coming. I could feel their confusion, their fear, their desire to do violence. They didn't know who was coming, but they could feel us. Probably nowhere near as well as I could feel them, but still. And they were anxious. I grabbed the door handle with my left hand and swung it open. And there they were, the dead, or, you know, undead. The more skeletal ones were up front, ready to pounce. The fresher ones were in the back, no doubt waiting to rip me apart once the Harryhausen rejects had put me down to the ground. One of them was feeling froggy and jumped at me. I flicked my right wrist, extending the telescoping asp I'd been carrying, and I swung it through the air in a huge arc. Had to make this showy. This was more theater than self-defense. I caught that undead fucker right in the center of his big alabaster fucking forehead. The metal asp shattered the skull as if I had hit a cheap vase, and the skeleton just collapsed on the floor in a dusty mound of bones. Oh, I heard some of them scream. Ones in the front started trying to retreat. Cowards. I tried not to laugh, you know, put on a scowl, and I stared at them as I alternated between stomping on the bones and hitting them with my asp. I turned that shit to baby powder, and I ground it into the tile on the floor. I took the asp, knocked the dust off the tip of my boots. They're just staring at me. I could feel their terror roll over me, and the hairs on my arms tingled. It was better than any drug, that terror. I lit another smoke and exhaled. All right, anyone else want to follow Skeletor's lead? None of them spoke. No? Good, that's smart, because I think you fuckers may be a little mistaken about something. I took a step towards them. The crowd tried to step back, but they were as far back in the crypt as they could get. Undead don't mean immortal. Fact is, you motherfuckers are easier to put down than a real-life person. And unlike a real person, I ain't got no sense of guilt about cracking you over the head. So, the next one of you bags of shit that so much as even chatters in my direction is getting turned into a pile of powder, just like this fuck right here. I pointed down at the dust around my feet with the asp.
Hey.
I heard one of them say from the back.
Hey, man. Move, man. Let me through.
One of them was pushing through the crowd, a fresh one that was still wearing his skin. Pretty big, too.
Hey, I know you,
it said. Oh, yeah? From where? It shook its head. I could see where its throat had been torn out and its face mangled. Looked like the body had gone through a gruesome death.
No, man. Move. No, not you. Him.
And it pointed behind me at Mondavo, who was standing in the doorway.
Mr. Delancey?
Mondavo asked from behind me. The PI. Big guy. Really big. He pushed his way through a crowd of undead. Mondavo walked up beside him.
Mr. Delancey. Can you please tell us what happened?
He looked like he was about to cry.
I fucked everything up, man. I had him. But then, well, I just lost my temper. I lost it, and I blew the whole fucking case.
From the back of the crowd, I heard one of the other undead start yelling,
Ronnie the Round spun it right round like a fat fucking clown, baby.
Ronald's face hardened. Right round, his brother. Round. I could feel it. This poor slob was stuck in here with his dead asshole brother. And then another undead stepped forward and pointed at Ronald. You got me killed. This is your fault. Ronald snapped his head around. My fault? My fault? You're the one who was robbing graves. The people were dead. What did they care? Ronald started trying to grab Thomas.
This is my family's crypt, you fucking asshole.
Thomas tried to scurry away.
But your family's total dickheads.
The same guy who'd been taunting Ronald yelled motherfucker and started pushing toward Thomas. Then things just went sideways. The undead started pushing and shoving and fighting each other. It took me and Mondavo both to get things calmed down. When we got everyone separated, we tried to explain the amulet and why we had to find it.
So let me get this straight, you guys. The reason all this is happening, the reason we're undead, the reason for all of this, is because this lowlife fuck stole something off of a corpse?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Delancey. And we need to find it before bad things begin to happen.
Bad things? You mean things worse than people rising from the grave?
Yeah, dummy. I said way worse. Gozer levels of way worse. More dead will rise. You'll eventually lose all those memories of your old life as your souls are, well, filtered off and eaten by something these guys, I pointed at Mondavo, call the Elder Thing. And that thing will get stronger and stronger, and it'll just keep feeding off of our souls. After it devours all the souls on this planet, after it sucks this planet dry, it'll move on to feed somewhere else. They all just stared at me. We kind of want to stop all that shit before it gets started. Everything calmed down, and we spent the next 20 minutes talking to Ronald and Thomas. Thomas was convinced that he'd given the necklace to his wife, which didn't make any sense to me. When I'd read her, I hadn't seen any necklace, but Thomas was adamant. Look, you guys, just let me go see her. This is my fault. I can get you to her, I promise. He was damn near pleading.
No, I don't think that would be wise.
Yeah, I agree. Why would you want to put your wife through this? I added. You know, when we stop all this thing, and we will stop it, you all will just go back to being dead, regular dead. You can't put your wife through that, so just stay put. We'll take it from here. Come on, Thomas exclaimed. I may be dead, but I'm still a person. We're still people. Oh, for fuck's sake. Look at yourself. You aren't people. You're all ripped up and gross-looking. You're walking corpses held together by magic. And when that magic is gone, I lit a cigarette and exhaled. You'll be gone, too. Kind of harsh, I know, but I hate the undead. They're so needy. When I walked into Sarah's house for the second time, I tried to focus, and just like before, I got nothing. But this time, I paid more attention to the nothing, rolled it around in my mind. There was too much of it. Nothing was everywhere.
Wade, I'm sorry. Good to see you again. Did you find something out about Thomas?
Her eyes were practically begging for good news. She was wearing a turtleneck sweater, so I couldn't see if she was wearing the necklace or not. But on the plus side, the sweater really made her boobs look great. I held her hand in mine, and I dove into her soul head first, but nothing. Just nothing. It was like diving into a bottomless pool. No, I'm afraid not, but I would like to talk to you. Can I come in? She let go of my hand and invited me into her house. I'd made Mondavo wait out in the car. Something was going on here, and I wanted to eliminate as many variables as possible, and his irritating ass definitely counted as a variable. I figured that would help us focus. I stepped over the piles of cars and army men and kids' shit like I did before. Jesus, did these kids ever clean up? We sat on the couch, and I started telling Sarah about the necklace that had gone missing. I left out all the mystical mumbo-jumbo, and I made up a bunch of shit about how it was a family heirloom that Thomas may have bought at a secondhand shop. I explained there was a huge reward for the necklace and so forth, blah, 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 but as I spun my web of shit, I started to notice that none of it was even so much as phasing Sarah, just an impassively beautiful face. I felt like I could get lost in her eyes.
Wade, my husband hadn't bought me a gift in years. Sometimes I wondered if he even remembered I was a woman. He was gone all the time, and this house could get really lonely.
She started scooting closer to me on the couch. She placed her hand on my leg and slowly made circles on my knee with her fingers. She leaned in close, all the while staring at me with those lovely, beguiling eyes.
So lonely, Wade.
She breathed as she leaned in close. Sarah's kisses were wet and hard and tasted like oolong tea. She pushed herself on top of me, and she let her legs wrap around my waist. I felt her hands run down my stomach and down past the elastic waistband of my boxer briefs, and she wrapped her fingers around me. I lifted my waist to push into her hands. I really wanted to go with it, but something was beginning to nag me. Not only was the living room still a mess from all the toys, but... Okay, stay with me. It was the same mess as before. The monster truck sat at my feet as it had the last time. The army men were in their same siege on the same building, block, castle. I opened my eyes as we kissed and I stared deep into her. I was seeing the same things in her soul. Missing husband, mourning, sadness, loss. Her soul looked exactly as it had looked earlier the day. Exactly the same. Nothing about kids, nothing about me. and we were all but fucking, and her soul hadn't changed at all. It felt like she was wearing someone else's soul, a disguised soul. I pulled Sarah's head away from mine. Sarah, are your kids here? She gripped my manhood tight and kissed me hard, acting like she hadn't heard me. Seriously, honey, where are the kids?
Who cares about the kids?
She responded as she tried to lean in for another kiss. That clenched it. I forgot about everything and tried to clear my mind, and I stared deeply into her eyes again. I pushed and pushed and pushed, and for an instant, just a fucking instant, I touched madness. Pure, unadulterated, chaotic madness swirling and twirling inside her. Small flashes of small bloody handprints. Feelings of delight at the taste of flesh. Maniacal laughter as small voices screamed in terror. Felt like a black hurricane of hate and violence and blood raging just behind her soul. I quickly ripped myself out of her mind before I fucking threw up, and I knew she knew, and her disguised soul fell away, and her eyes turned black like sackcloth. For the first time in my life, my blood turned cold as I came face to face with a seriously pissed off God. And then I heard the screaming. Someone yelling. That's my fucking wife, he was screaming as he tried to punch at me. I quickly performed a mental checklist. An undead jealous husband trying to bash my head in. An ancient god giving me a hand job, and my partner out in the car. Not good. I wasn't too worried about Thomas. He didn't know how to punch, much less fight, so I just readjusted into a bottom guard and let one of his punches slide by. I reached up, wrapped my arms around his neck and outstretched arm, and locked in a triangle choke. I ratcheted his stupid neck as hard as I could, and I waited for him to pass out. But he didn't. He kept flailing at me and screaming like an idiot. I readjusted and tightened my grip and flexed. I tried to pull his stupid head off his body, but he just kept on struggling and yelling about his goddamn demon-possessed wife. Then it occurred to me that putting an undead in a chokehold probably wasn't the best idea I've ever had. So I just held on as tight as I could so he couldn't get away from me. I looked up and Sarah was standing over us, laughing maniacally. Her eyes were like polished marble, jet black with streaks of white. And the energy flowing through was so strong I was having trouble breathing. I could feel it on the other side, pushing and tearing and clawing at the veil between our two worlds. And I knew that if I didn't get loose quick, the elder thing would tear through its reality. It'd all be up shit creek. Out of fucking nowhere, a shot rang out. Sarah's left eye exploded in a spray of blood and brain and bone. She stood there with her head half hanging off, gently swaying back and forth like a marionette dangling in the breeze. Another shot, and a huge hole appeared in the center of her chest. Blood began spurting out with each dying heartbeat. It was kind of awesome. Sarah's body fell onto the floor in a bloody heap. Thomas went limp in my arms like a robot that had been switched off. And in the doorway, I saw Mandavo standing with a smoking revolver.
Torch! Mr. Torch, it must be the necklace. Grab the necklace, Torch.
I pushed Thomas off me and scrambled over to Sarah's body. I knew I only had a few minutes. If the thing had already started to control flesh, we didn't have long to get the necklace onto consecrated ground before it could just stroll into our world. I pushed Thomas off of me and scrambled over to Sarah's body. I flipped Sarah over, pulled the neckline of her sweater down, and was relieved to see the chain of the necklace. I ripped it off her bloody neck, jammed it into my pocket. We headed off for the cemetery as fast as we could. By the time we got there, I could literally hear reality being torn away all around us. It sounded like someone was slowly tearing galaxy-sized newspaper pages. We ran through the cemetery, weaving back and forth between graves, and I started to worry we wouldn't make it in time. When we finally got to the grave where all this shit had started, Mandavo thrust out his hand and said,
Quickly, Mr. Torch, give me the necklace and I shall begin the binding incantation.
I pulled the necklace out of my pocket, dropped it into Mandavo's hand. He stared at it, looked at me, and slowly said in a soft voice,
Mr. Torch, this is not a yog amulet.
He held up the necklace. I hadn't even looked at it when I ripped it off Sarah's body. darkness had already extinguished the sun, but when lightning flashed, I could clearly see it was a small black Celtic cross. It looked like something a goth tween would buy at Hot Topic.
Yo, amulets. They're always jade, Mr. Torch, always. If you'd ever bothered to study, you would have known that.
The wind had whipped up, lightning was flashing, and the thunder was so close I could feel it rumble in my chest. Mandavo fell to his butt on the ground next to the open grave.
Why didn't you read it, Mr. Torch? Why?
He put his head in his hands.
Couldn't even be bothered to read it. The only reason you were here.
I spun and looked at the sky. The air rippled and sparkled with red energy, and I could feel it starting to rip through. And I knew that was it. We were done. Totally fucked. Because even if we made it back to Sarah's house before it pushed through, and even if we were able to find the amulet, there's no way we would have time to get it back to consecrated ground. I heard the crack of a gunshot and looked down in time to see Mondavo's body slink to the ground in a fetal position, the revolver still in his hand. His legs twitched and his body convulsed softly as the last bit of blood trickled out of his head and onto the grass. Selfish prick, I said as I pulled out my last Marlboro Red. I lit it and inhaled, wadded up the soft pack, and threw it in the open grave. Least he could have done is shoot me first.